Many insurance companies today require your physician to get approval or what's called a pre-authorization before they can prescribe certain medications, get paid for certain tests, or clinical services. Well, this entire process ends up costing physician practices time and money and may even impact the quality of care. Well, for more insight into this issue, we have joining us this morning Dr. Christopher Morley. He's Associate Professor of Family Medicine, Public Health, and Psychiatry, and Vice Chair for Research in the Department of Family Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Morley. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
So you were involved in a study. You just completed a study that looked into this problem. First, tell us how this study arose, and it's part out of an organization that you're a part of, the SALTnet. Tell us about that.
Sure. SALTnet, the Studying, Acting, Learning, Teaching Network, is actually a practice-based research network that we created. Started by Dr. John Epling, the chair of our department now.
He's the chair of the Department of Family Medicine here at Upstate.
That's correct. He had a vision for a practice-based research network here in central New York. Practice-based research networks are networks of physicians or other healthcare providers who do research that essentially matters in practice, as opposed to being a top-down study that hands them a drug and asks them to test it. They do research that helps solve problems in day-to-day practice. And so Dr. Epling actually founded the study with some seed money from the American Academy of Family Physicians Foundation, and we've moved it forward with a grant that I have from the Health Resources and Services Foundation to support the infrastructure.
So your study was taking a look at what the impact of these prior authorizations or pre-authorizations that insurance companies require physicians to do, what the impact of that is on practices. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So in a few years ago, we held a meeting of this network, and we were asking physicians what was bugging them in practice. And specifically, it was a room full of primary care doctors, family physicians. And one of the things that emerged from this meeting was that they were getting this increasingly heavy burden and workload from requirements from the payers to the insurance companies, correct, to make them ask for prior approval when they ordered a test or a procedure, and they were getting the sense that this was causing them a lot of time and effort, and they were losing money, and it was decreasing efficiency of their operation. And actually, several studies had examined the problem, and they'd found that the costs per physician in a practice per year was something north of $80,000 a year.
Wow.
Well, those studies had actually looked at the problem by surveying physicians retrospectively and asking them what they thought they had spent time on over the past period of time. And so what we wanted to do was actually look in real time and ask the physicians in their offices and the staff members that they have working on prior auth to check off a form every time they were engaged in this sort of activity.
So to really quantify it.
Exactly, and to do it in real time so that we can count literally the number of minutes that each type of staff person, physician, nurse, office worker, and so forth, was spending on which type of prior authorization activity and with which payer they were interacting.
So what did you find?
Well, we found that the costs do vary from study to study, but we found that roughly, I'm going to speak in round numbers rather than get down to the penny because I don't think we really capture that level of accuracy, but figure between $1,000 and $5,000 a year per physician per year. And that's what we found in our study. And when we went out and presented the work at a conference in 2010, we actually found another group that came out of the woodwork that had done almost the same type of method on their own and had come up with eerily similar results. So we're looking at a smaller size and a smaller scope of cost. However, what we did was basically only counted the actual minutes and then estimate from those minutes the type of cost that would be applied to those minutes by taking national averages or regional averages in each case for what a salary would be for the person who's working on it.
But bottom line, the issue was that this was costing the primary care physician time and money.
That's correct. We look at these estimates as not insubstantial costs, and furthermore, we think there are a lot of inefficiencies that we didn't measure. Our studies don't capture that while they might be over emphasized in a recall study, where we're talking about what you just spent time in the past month doing, for example, we do believe that we've bookended, we've provided a lower bookend for what are true costs, and those costs are substantial.
So what are the ramifications then of that? I mean, that's, I think, the key point. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you've documented now in a quantitative way that this is costing primary care physicians time and money.
Correct. We think that there are, well, there are ramifications that go beyond the simple costs that we've documented. There are certainly inefficiencies. If you think about the amount of time we're allocating, this is time that's spread out over a period of days or weeks. So, for example, if the total prior authorization took, say, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour to complete, in terms of actually working on the paperwork or being on the phone, there's also time interspacing those minutes, and these represent delays for the patient. They represent delayed care. There are also costs that aren't reimbursed by the insurance company. So if you're talking about $5,000, say, per physician in a practice, and let's say it's a small four-physician practice, you're talking about $20,000 a year just in measurable, real, direct costs. That doesn't mean you're accounting for anything like the fact that you've had to hire someone to do prior authorization or pre-authorization, as they're sometimes called, requests, but their time isn't completely filled with these minute-by-minute activities. You essentially have to create a position or reallocate somebody who was doing something else, potentially somebody who was doing something that was reimbursable, into something that is not a profit center, is not reimbursable.
So is this putting physicians in a, I mean, basically this was creating somewhat of a financial burden, is what you're saying, in the area of primary care where they're not necessarily getting very high rates of reimbursement to begin with.
To begin with, that's correct. So primary care practice is becoming gradually more and more of a challenge to stay in business. Now, I should note, I'm not a practicing physician myself, but I hear this all the time from my colleagues in practice who are finding it more and more difficult to maintain what anyone would think of as a traditional primary care practice, for sure, and frankly becoming more and more indebted to a system that really holds them to it.
I don't want to run out of time, but it seems to me that this, there must be some other kind of leverage that can come of this. Perhaps this kind of data could be something that they could use, that physicians could use when negotiating contracts with insurance companies. Was that part of your hope?
We would hope that by quantifying costs and demonstrating that this is a real cost, when you ask the physician to now do a bunch of additional administrative work on top of the assessment that they're already doing, the procedure they're already getting paid for, when they're doing a bunch of work beyond that and the reimbursement hasn't changed, that's very simple math to do. Furthermore, there are lots of costs that they're incurring for things that they aren't actually doing for and being reimbursed for, as we discussed before.
Well, I think the key point here underlying all of this is that you've just said primary care is harder and harder and harder to sustain, to be able to stay in practice and do, and we are losing our primary care physicians, who are the gateway, really, to all the rest of our medical care. So clearly this work is crucial. This data that you've supplied is crucial and perhaps will lead down the road to physicians being able to negotiate with insurance companies to get this kind of extra effort reimbursed.
We would hope so, because they're losing it by the penny and by the pound. So if we can help regain either the pennies or the pounds, then we believe, helping primary care, and that's what we're in this for.
Well, thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Christopher Morley, Associate Professor of Family Medicine, Public Health, and Psychiatry, and he's Vice Chair for Research in the Department of Family Medicine. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on air right after this short break.